Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Wednesday morning. There are ways to do things the right way, the wrong way, the perceived right way, the perceived wrong way. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. J.J. Watt, biggest story of last Friday, right when we got off the air, he released on his own that he had come to a mutual agreement that he was going to be parting ways with the Houston Texans. Much more on a potential blockbuster involving that other Texans guy on the move in just a minute with Deshaun. But Key, you just said, as we heard from JJ coming in, that you weren't exactly thrilled with the way he decided to handle the news of the announcement that he'd be leaving the only team he's ever played for.
No, it's not that I wasn't thrilled. I'm just like, it doesn't, you know, just don't give them any more. Don't give the Texans any more, like, umph. Like, just kind of just, you know what, they released me, let's move on. Whatever, you know, cross the ticker, then when you land at your next job post, let's take care of business there. That's all. I'm like, it's like, okay. You announced it. I get it. You wanted to make the announcement for the Texans, put their own spin on it.
Yeah, I like the fact that he was first to the market, and I think that says a lot. And I think that's smart on his behalf. So many times that, you know, the franchises want to control the narrative, and I'm sure, you know, the headline would have been the Texans release him. But J.J. Watt went to them asking for a release. That's a different type of scenario. Like, even if they have released him or not, him going to them and asking them for a release, it really sets a different narrative out in the world about where the Texans are. And I think it actually gives them – it's another shot to them about – how they're handling things internally with so much movement going on.
Well, they should have gave him his release. They shouldn't. I mean, they're not going to be a good football team. So if players that have some ability on the back end of their career, you should give them an opportunity. Matthew Stafford, Matthew Ryan, if he can work from a financial standpoint, get out of Atlanta, maybe get somewhere that is conducive to you winning a championship. I don't see – anything wrong with that at all. I mean, teams should do that. The Deshaun Watson situation is totally different. Deshaun Watson is a guy who's in the prime of his career, 25, 26 years old, who's just signed a recent deal. They need to get as many picks and trades or whatever they players that they can get for him, where no one was going to give you anything for J.J. Watt, so you make the decision to move him.
And speaking of Deshaun Watson, so we know it's a clean break between the Texans and J.J. Watt, and Jay liked the way that J.J. handled it. Obviously, it's going to be a messy breakup when it happens, if it happens, with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. There are no lack of suitors. As Key said, when you're 25 in the prime of your career, you've already been locked into a deal, so the team that gets Watson knows exactly what they're getting into financially. There is a team that is willing to give up the kitchen sink, the toothpaste in the tube cliche, everything but the kitchen sink, and maybe adding in the kitchen sink now. That's the Carolina Panthers. They've been scuffling. They've been in neutral for quite some time since Cam left after Super Bowl 50 when he was the MVP. Haven't had any traction at the quarterback position for almost a half decade. Teddy Bridgewater unlikely to return. They, according to our Panthers reporter David Newton, are squarely in the middle of the Watson sweepstakes, and listen to what they're willing to give up.
Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, and that includes giving up 3 first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, owner David Tepper wants to win a Super Bowl. He's made that clear. He understands it takes a marquee quarterback to do that. Now, if you look at recent history outside of Patrick Mahomes, the quickest way to do that is to trade for a marquee quarterback and not draft one in the first round. Just ask Tampa Bay.
David, thank you. Whoa, whoa, wow. Whoa. 3 picks and one of the best running backs in the NFL. And right now, the Panthers' face of their franchise. All of that for Watson. Huge haul.
I like the way he ended with just ask Tampa Bay. Now, everybody just going to run to that model. Well, go get an old quarterback.
It did work.
Go get an old quarterback with a dominant defense and a bunch of skill position players that are good, and you're going to find another Tom Brady just out there in the universe. Man, they need to stop. Look, in terms of Carolina trying to get Deshaun Watson, I think it's a great opportunity and a great deal if they can do it. You know, running backs, they come somewhat a dime a dozen. Like, you can find great backs in certain parts of the draft.
But this guy?
There's no question about it. Well, first of all, the guy got to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's been injured
okay?
a lot.
In and out of the lineup a lot. And I know you have
pass catching out of the backfield?
I know you have this affinity for the McCaffreys because of your Denver connection. But with that being said, in full transparency, that he is a hell of a back. but I can get that back in the draft, or I can find that back on another roster that I can now implement into my scheme if I have a franchise quarterback. Franchise quarterbacks don't come a dime a dozen. They're hard to get. That's why when you can get one, you get him, and you hold on to him for dear life. The Texans screwed it up. They had it. They had her right here. Oh, she was pretty, man. Had her. They getting ready to walk down the aisle together. And then all of a sudden, they screwed it up. They got caught. And when they got caught, she decided to do something different, Jay.
But what if they were to do this deal, wouldn't that be a massive cap hit for the Panthers? Wouldn't that force them to issues to readdress or retool?
I don't know what their numbers in terms of McCaffrey. I don't know, cap numbers. I don't know where he's at with that. Clearly, if this is something that they're talking about behind the scenes, it probably isn't that big of a deal. But here's what I would say. If we are saying that the New York Jets should give up 3 first-round picks and Sam Darnold, a franchise young quarterback that could potentially be a franchise quarterback like Sam Darnold, it has more value than Christian McCaffrey. 3 ones from them, 3 ones from the Jets, and a franchise quarterback potentially opposed to a running back. So you would take that deal every day from the Jets, but if they're offering you in this Carolina deal, that may be something you could think about.
If I'm Deshaun Watson, Zubin, no trade clause.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not going to Carolina. But
your defense still needs work. You're probably going to lose Russell Okung. He's going to leave in free agency. Your interior, your O-line isn't that good. I just had issues with my O-line. I was running for my life. But you got to remember,
he's from there, though, right? He's from the area.
He's from Georgia, right?
He's from the area. So played at Clemson, from the area, huge fan base, huge support down there in the Carolinas for Deshaun, who brought Clemson a national title many, many moons ago, as I would say. So when you look at it, this is a good situation for Deshaun. Their defense is solid. They got a solid offense. They were a game or two away from making the playoffs, a couple points away from making the playoffs. Look, it's not a bad situation. I just don't know that he doesn't have better options out there for who Deshaun is.
When McCaffrey did sign his deal, he signed an extension. Again, it's not quarterback money going back in return when you discuss how money would work, because obviously Deshaun's on the hook for 156 and even the league's top running back. And I think there's only one running back in football that's better than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I think you guys are underselling. I understand he's hurt, but I think you're underselling his impact running and catching passes.
He is the highest paid running back
in the history of the NFL. So there would be some money coming back the other way.
Probably. No, Christian McCaffrey is a hell of a football player. And there are other backs that are out there. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are hella backs. They just split dual roles. They do things differently. Josh Jacobs is a hell of a running back at the Oakland Raiders and is still young. McCaffrey is a do-it-all back. But there are backs that are out there, and Derrick Henry is a pound-and-ground type running back. Well, so when you look at it, I can find me a running back in the draft. I don't have to go and get Christian McCaffrey. If they decide to hold on to Christian McCaffrey, I still might look at that deal if I'm the Houston Texans, depending on what Deshaun wants to do. Because if I'm looking for a back, I can go find me a back. I can find me a back. I just gave you 3 guys. 4. I gave you 4 backs. And then I can find other guys in the draft or around. I mean, look, Najee Harris is coming up. I may like Najee Harris.
Alabama.
Pretty good back.
Yeah, CMC just feels different. I hear what you're saying, Key. Look, if David Tepper wants to be all in with Deshaun Watson, by all means, if you're going to outbid the Jets or the Dolphins to do that, okay, I just think that's an excessive large haul to give up.
Franchise quarterback, though, man, you just think about it. Adam Schefter said there's 18 possibilities of moving quarterbacks this year. 18 different transactions around quarterbacks, starters in the National Football League. We've seen 2 so far.
And think about how decisive Tepper has been. He's done a couple of things which have really opened some eyebrows, but it does say exactly how much he wants to win and what he's all about. Remember, when there was some friction between first-year head coach Matt Rhule and the general manager Marty Herney, David Tepper, the owner, simply just stepped in and said, "Marty, you're out." There wasn't any, "Let's fence mend, let's get along. Let's make this triumvirate work. Marty, you've been successful in the league. You built the Panthers up the first time. Matt, you're a first-time head coach. Don't have a ton of experience. Lean on Marty. They were having friction, and this dude, to his financial hedge fund background, simply walked in and said, I'm going to fish and cut bait. Marty, boom, gone. We're moving on.
But is that the right way to do things as an owner?
He's probably been ultra-successful doing that his entire life, so why change
but
now?
Football is different. Football is not it's not normal business because football is way different than the normal business world that we live in every single day. But is that the right? Just because you made it work in your business that made you a fortune, will it work in football? Because we've seen owners that was somewhat meddling all the time in it. Daniel Snyder was a perfect example. A lot of money, very successful. But then when he started meddling around with the football, not so successful. That's all I'm saying. Is that the right way to approach it?
The only thing I would say is prior to Snyder getting involved in the NFL, he was like a billionaire at 40. He was a young genius. But he had no association or previous association with the Redskins at the time, called the Redskins, other than being a childhood fan of the team. Tepper was a minority owner of the Steelers, so he has been involved in NFL affairs over the years. I think there is a slight distinction.
Minority
there.
Owner, not decision maker.
No doubt.
So way different situation.
But he has dipped his toe in the pool.
The Rooneys are running the Steelers and making decisions. We don't see the Rooneys getting in the way like that.
No, they're hands off.
So that's all I'm saying. So when you start to think because he's spending a bunch of money and he has a lot of money, that's the way to go is to just start throwing things out there because you were successful in your business practice that made you as rich as you are.
Yes.
But businesses can be successful in different ways. I mean, not every business has to follow the same blueprint. I mean, Mark Cuban is loud. He's in front of his team. They won a world championship. He's willing to outspend people. It's just a byproduct of what works for you.
Indeed. There's several ways to do it. There are several ways to do it, and the Panthers are choosing one track. Speaking of successful, are the Browns going to be successful in landing J.J. Watt? Just a reminder, that's in a second. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Off to Cleveland we go.
Meow.
Let's go right to Cleveland. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Check in once again. Second appearance for Emmett Golden, I believe, the last time Emmett was with us. He was on a 24-hour mission that has yet to be replicated. The next level, Emmett and Gerard, 3 to 6 Eastern on ESPN 850 in Cleveland. It's great to have you here. I know you're a Cleveland guy through and through. So you tell us the story of the morning, J.J. Watt and the Browns. Can it work? Will it work?
Oh, I think it most definitely can work, and I think it will. If you're J.J. Watt, you know, what do you want? You want an opportunity to play for a Super Bowl, and the Browns showed last year that they're a team that's ascending. That offense is set. They literally have to do nothing on the offensive side of the ball, but they do need to focus defensively. And last year, Myles Garrett needed some help. Olivier Vernon had a solid year, but those two were never on at the same time. And if you can complement Myles Garrett with J.J. Watt, I mean, who are you going to double team? And I think that will take that defense to the next level, no pun intended. And I think it would just help the defense out in the Browns tremendously. And I think J.J. would get what he wanted. He'd get a shot at playing in the Super Bowl.
Based on what you saw out of Kansas City against the Cleveland Browns at Kansas City, then again against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, based on how their offense played and adding J.J. Watt, how close do you think the Browns are to real Super Bowl title contenders? I mean real, not fantasy.
Yeah, I think they're in the conversation. I mean, obviously, it's going to be tough to knock Kansas City, you know, off that AFC, you know, crown, so to speak. And you got the Buffalo Bills that are really good. But I think the Browns are right there. You know, when they lost to the Chiefs in the divisional round, I mean, if that defense gets a stop and you're able to give the ball back to Baker Mayfield, who knows what happens? You know, maybe the Browns do the unthinkable and pull it out. So, you know, I look at it as they're, you know, a couple stops away from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender, but they're in the mix. and you add a player like, you know, J.J. Watt to a defense that already has Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, and then they got some young guys in the secondary, I think they're true contenders there. And I get it. I know I'm looking through brown and orange glasses. I'm not going to ignore my bias. But this team is ascending, and I think they got a good look at it next year.
Yeah, you are looking through that. I want you to look through this, though. Jeff Darlington, our colleague here at ESPN, tweeted out that there could be a match made in heaven with OBJ and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the offseason. Do you think that the Browns are going to move on from Odell?
I don't think so. Everything that we've heard from the Browns, from Kevin Stefanski, from Andrew Berry, it's funny. You can hear the frustration when they get asked about Odell and if they plan on moving him. It's a hot story. I understand it. You know, if you asked all the receivers in the NFL, some tells me about 99% would say, yeah, I'd love to play with Tom Brady. Great players want to play with great players, but I don't think this is a situation where Odell isn't happy in Cleveland. I know the Browns like him. And last year, you know, honestly, you talk about their run in the playoffs, they missed the true deep threat. You know, they have some good receivers, but nobody that can stretch the field. And, you know, it, things got tougher running the ball for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt once Odell Beckham Jr. was off the field due to, again, just, you know, having that deep threat. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I know it's something we'll talk about all offseason, but I think ultimately opening day he'll be on the Browns roster.
Emmett, Baker Mayfield is eligible for an extension this offseason. What is the timeline, you think, before the Browns lock him up? And what do you think he's going to get?
Well, I think the Browns want to wait and see. You know, they like Baker. They're happy with Baker. He is part of their future. But you look at some of the bad contracts, you know, with the Carson Wentz, the Jared Goff, and I think the Browns are going to be very careful. Now, this could help Baker Mayfield. You might say, hey, you know, get the money now. You have that security. That's probably the way that I would go. But if you're Baker Mayfield, and imagine if you do take the Browns to the Super Bowl, then all of a sudden you're probably going to be up there with the highest paid players in all of the NFL. So if I'm Baker, and I know Baker likes to bet on himself, he's a chip on the shoulder guy, I could see him saying, you know what, let me prove it and let me earn more money. So I think the Browns would like to get something done maybe at the end of next season, but I think they want to see it one more time before they invest the huge dollars in the Baker Mayfield.
All right, Emmett, it's hoop season, man. Let's talk about some hoops for a second. Key and I are in this really big debate. After LeBron James retires, is LaMelo Ball the future face of the NBA, or do you have somebody else in that position?
Wow.
I go to
Luka. Yeah.
That's where I would go. Key's all on LaMelo right now. Go ahead, Key.
I like LaMelo. Jake,
what you were trying to do is control the witness by getting over excited and Goldie, don't fall for the trap. Please don't. That's not what I said. It is simple. We're trying to figure out who could potentially be the face of the NBA when LeBron James is done in 5 to 6 years. What I said is that the way LaMelo is doing things and follow his followers on social media, his look, he's playing well, he's with Michael Jordan, that I can see where the NBA, if he continues on the trajectory, putting him in that position to be the face of the NBA off the court. That's all. I didn't say winning 10 championships like LeBron. I didn't say any of those things. So you may go and speak now, Goldie, that you have facts.
Okay, I will say to your point, I think from as far as young people are concerned, I feel where you're coming from, right? He's just kind of part of that culture. But there are players that I feel like are far ahead of him when it comes to being the next face. You know, I brought up Luka, Giannis. You know, there are a lot of guys that have won. And they're a little later on in their career than LaMelo is. So I think LaMelo will have that fame that you speak of. But the true face, someone that can, you know, kind of capture everyone's imagination, the old guys and the young guys, I'm not quite sure he's there.
Do you think that the NBA, something that Jay covers, will anoint two European guys to essentially be the face of the NBA?
I hate this question.
I'm just asking you.
Well, because we get it has to be an American guy that Americans root for.
I didn't say.
How about
just
be a good person that Americans root for?
Okay, political.
Why does it matter?
I didn't say that. I just said.
But I know that's always Goldie. That's always where the argument goes, right?
That because people that are listening are saying that as they drive in their cars and watching us on ESPN News, they're saying the same thing. That the NBA isn't going to do that. If you think they are, Jay, as a longtime cover and ex-NBA player, then I stand down.
Go ahead, Goldie.
You know, guys, I can only, you know, speak for myself. I don't really care where a guy came from. Like, can he hoop? Can he ball? You know, when the money's on the line, will he get those buckets? And, you know, I think Luka is that guy right now. He's Euro LeBron, you know, and I think we're all love watching what LeBron's able to do. So I feel where you're coming from, Key. Personally, I don't care where you're from, it's where you're at.
It's about the money. And if the NBA can make money, they'll do it. If it ain't resonating for them to make the money, they're not going to do it.
Well, how about for Cleveland making money? Because with LeBron in L.A., Francisco Lindor traded to the Mets. Like, who's the current face of Cleveland sports? What's going on in Cleveland?
Oh, it's Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. There's no doubt about it.
The same guy that y'all wanted to get rid of 9 months ago. I get it.
See, 9 months ago, Key, you out. Now you number one.
Fans. That's why you don't listen to fans. The moment that Deshaun Watson's name came up, they was ready to throw Baker Mayfield in that river.
So cold.
God.
Man, you got six.
Quite a few people were.
That's
they were
crazy, man.
Here, but there were also a bunch of fans, Key, that didn't want to hear it. That felt like, you know what, I mean, come on. The Browns finally have a quarterback and you're ready to kick him to the curb. It was definitely a hot conversation in Cleveland. But I would say most fans still want Baker to be their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. And that money could be coming, as Jay asked you earlier in the interview. You got about 6.5 hours. You'll be on the air. We just whetted your appetite and warmed you up. Emmett, really appreciate the perspective this morning.
Always fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jay Will trying to badger the witness. Man, please.
I'm not badgering. I'm not misleading the witness.
Misleading the witness. He's trying to mislead the witness.
You are more than welcome to object.
And before the witness even said anything, the first thing, yeah! Oh, like, come on, man, stop.
Just planting the seed.
We got to run. I would say this. For Jay's point, 107 players began the season born outside of the United States. 107 foreign players in the NBA when the season began. But the last thing I would say, the face of the league, a non-sports fan does not know Luka Doncic. The last four players that have been the face of the NBA, the late Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all of those people are known by your girlfriend that doesn't follow sports, your next-door neighbor that doesn't follow sports. Luka Doncic right now, no way, shape, or form fits that.
That's why I think the NBA has a problem right now, Zubin.
You're right about it. We got to dig
in. That ain't what you said with Goldie, you liar.
On the way, they're always talking about that Houston quarterback that wants to be on the move. We'll talk about it with one of the greatest quarterbacks in Houston football history next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update.
Really
huge shocker.
Kevin Agundy.
He's coming up tonight at 6 Eastern. I'm the morning guy. He's the night guy. So here's the deal. Good night for Rafael Nadal at the Australian Open. Key, I know you were feverishly watching this 5-set match. Stefanos Tsitsipas taking out the second seed, the great Rafael Nadal. Nadal actually won the first two sets. Tsitsipas roared back, won the next two. winning in five. There's something about Nadal at this event. It's not exactly Roland Garros for him, but he struggled a little bit here.
Yeah, he's much better on clay than he is on this for whatever reason. And Sisadal, that's what I'm saying it right, yep, certainly gave him a run for his money.
Indeed. Australian Open coverage resumes tonight, 7 Eastern, ESPN+. Chris Fowler, Chris Everett, Keyshawn Johnson on the call. Nets staged an incredible comeback against the Suns, 128-124.
Right.
Yeah, Jay's Nets down 21 at the half. Jay, largest halftime comeback in franchise history. What a win for Steve Nash.
Can't root for teams, Jay.
I'm not rooting for teams. James Harden was special. He showed you why in the second half last night. I mean, he had 30-plus points and over 10 assists for his fourth game. He's been able to do that in Nets uniform. You see why he leads the league in assists.
You know, I'm just laughing right now, Jay, because he looked like a different player than he was in Houston
yeah.
the last couple weeks. Right? I mean, he just looked – not only does his body look different, just everything.
The things that a good working environment will do for you, right?
No doubt about it. And by the way, how about Nash coming back to Phoenix and walking out a winner? Nets Lakers tomorrow night. Black history always, celebrating two of the all-time greats of any stripe race. Michael Jordan and Jim Brown both celebrating a birthday today. How about that? What a combination. Jim Brown is 85, did so much off the football field. Michael Jordan, of course, is 58. No explanation needed there. Happy birthday to two all-time greats, Jim Brown and Michael Jordan. 85 and the reverse, 58 for Michael. Wow, what a day in sports history. SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Wow, so much Deshaun talk, which we're going to get into in just a few seconds with one of the most legendary quarterbacks the city has seen. I think Deshaun Watson might be looking up at this guy, to be honest with you, at least for the moment. And at this time tomorrow, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, the Houston sports soothsayer, will be joining us for all the latest intel. Nobody knows the Texans as well as him. Let's welcome in on the Goodyear Hotline that guy that played in Houston that had the oil derrick on the side of the helmet. Legend at Washington, legend in the CFL, the NFL, the Hall of Famer Warren Moon joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Warren. First things first, I think everybody has talked to death about Deshaun Watson asking out. Take me inside a quarterback, knowing that city the way you do. How do you feel he's handled all of this?
I think he's handled it pretty well. He hasn't said very much publicly at all, if anything, that I've heard. I think he's probably made some of his feelings known to the organization and maybe to some certain players, but it's not something that he's put out in the media a bunch. I know that he hasn't really talked to the owner very much about this whole situation, and he's just kind of letting his advisors kind of do most of the talking for him. I wish he would come out and say something just to give people kind of a piece of what his thoughts or feelings are. I think that would make everybody understand this whole situation a little bit better, but he's chosen not to do that yet, so that's his prerogative.
As you look at the Houston situation, it's so funny that these quarterback situations, whether it's the Rams, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, Carolina, I mean, it's going all over. But much like myself, I'm sure you didn't expect noise to come out of Seattle with Russell Wilson kind of poking at the Seattle Seahawks about getting him involved, but also showing that he's not happy with the situation at all. What did you make of that?
Well, I don't think he's unhappy with the situation at all. I just think he wants a little bit more emphasis put on the offensive line because I know he's getting a little bit older. He's not going to be the guy that can make those fantastic escapes out of the pocket all the time and get outside and make those great plays that he's been able to make in his earlier years. As he gets a little bit older, you start to lose some of that mobility and you're going to have to be protected a little bit better. And I think he understands that right now. And I think the organization does too. They've made some moves over the years. Like they brought in Dwayne Brown from Houston, who's been a solid left tackle for them. They brought in Mike Iupati, but he hasn't worked out because he's been injured, you know, off and on. But he's been an all-pro guard since he's been in this league. So they've tried to do some things to bolster that line, but it just hasn't worked from an injury standpoint. But Russell was just answering a question about protection and about getting involved in personnel decisions, and he answered them pretty honestly, where a lot of times he would deflect something like that. So I don't think it's as big a deal as what everybody's making it out to be. I think it's a big deal because it's Russell saying something that he might be unhappy about, and Russell never says he's unhappy about anything. I think the Seahawks are going to address that situation, and everything will work out fine here.
Let me ask you about mechanics on the field at the quarterback position. Obviously, well documented, your Hall of Famer. Your career speaks for itself, whether it was in Canada or the National Football League. But for someone like yourself who had one of the quickest releases in the NFL, why does Russell hold on to the ball so long?
Yeah, it's not so much his release, it's holding the ball. He's a guy that I don't think has ever really anticipated holes and windows coming open. He's a guy that likes to see the receiver come open before he throws the football, and sometimes that makes you hold the ball a little bit too long. And then there's times when he wants to escape as opposed to throwing the football away. And he's made some, like I said earlier, great escapes outside the pocket and made some things happen. But then sometimes he doesn't make those escapes and he takes big sacks. So it goes both ways. And you don't really want to take that away from him as far as his creativity. But you also want him to make some better decisions, because you would rather have 2nd and 10 as opposed to 2nd and 17, because you're taking a big sack on first down. So Those are the things that I think he can get better at, and it'll also take a little bit less wear and tear off of his body from hits that he takes if he just gets rid of the football and throws it away sometime, as opposed to trying to make the big play all the time. So it's not so much that he has a slow release, it's just that he wants to see the receiver come open, and he also wants to try and make the big play whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Warren, we've been talking a ton about player empowerment. Guys like Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, I would like to be involved in more of upper management decision-making. Guys like Russell Wilson saying that. Deshaun Watson, obviously. Has that always kind of been the case with quarterbacks, or is this a new phenomenon that we're watching?
You know, I think it's always been a part of it. I know when I was in Houston, I was asked many times about different personnel decisions, whether it was a different receiver that I liked or whether it was a different running back that I liked, mainly guys on the offensive side of the ball. I was asked about our head coaching decision when they brought in Jack Pardee to run the run and shoot. They asked me how I felt about that. So I've always talked to general managers that I've been involved with teams with, or scouts or whatever. I'm always talking personnel with guys, and I think most other quarterbacks probably do that too. I think this whole thing about personnel decisions with players came up because the Houston Texans asked or told Deshaun Watson that they would involve him in that decision-making, and they didn't do it. That's where this kind of whole thing came about. But I think quarterbacks have always had the option to talk to general managers and that about what's going on with the football team. It just kind of makes sense, because as a quarterback, you're kind of assessing people all the time as well. And you have to kind of have that eye for personnel on guys who you think are going to make your team stronger. So I think it's a natural thing that's happened over the years, but probably players want to get more involved, but they better be careful what they wish for. That's a lot of work that goes into evaluating a player.
Warren, I got to tell you, I know you're on the phone with us, but as you were talking, we were showing some old school archival footage of those baby blue pants and that oil. It was just
putting in work, Warren.
Oh, awesome to see it. We're showing it one more time. You got this huge smile on your face. It's just great stuff looking at this from a Hall of Fame.
You know, we had a good looking uniform. It wasn't very intimidating coming out of the locker room, but it was a good looking uniform.
No doubt about it. We're watching number one spin it like few have spun it.
I got
before.
Cheated.
Why did you get cheated?
Because I should have had him as one of my quarterbacks one of my years I played. What the hell you mean?
You know what? You know what, Keyshawn? We missed each other at West L.A. Junior College, too. We could have played together there, because I was there before you.
Yeah, but you was way, way, way. way before me.
It's Warren Moon to Keyshawn Johnson, the Edmonton Eskimos, 1st and 10. All right, Warren, thank you so much. It's great to have you here this morning.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks, guys. All Thanks right. for having me on. Take care now.
That's
have a good
Hall
day.
Of Famer. You got it. That's a Hall of Famer.
We went to the same junior college, but my high school coach, Coach Warren Moon.
Oh, what? Small world?
Wow.
Yeah.
Small world. We're asking this morning, by the way, the poll question. We got a couple poll questions. The first is, who's the better birthday buddy duo? Today is Michael's birthday. Needs no name, right? Michael's birthday and Jim Brown. Or Tiger and LeBron. Both Tiger and LeBron were born December 30th. Michael and Jim Brown, February 17th. Better birthday duo or Tiger and LeBron? Who is leading by less than 1%, Key? By less than 1%.
I would say it's Michael and Jim Brown.
You are correct.
Yeah.
The other poll question today.
It's easy.
Who's the next face of the NBA after the King?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Last night, you discovered streaming. We're talking about it. It's changed the way you live.
How many cable boxes did you have back in California?
Maybe
that's the real question.
North of 18?
What?
Yeah.
North of 18 cable boxes?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Welcome back. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear hotline. We are in court, and we've been asking throughout the course of the morning. Of course, we're in Zoom court, so the connection could go out at any time. So everybody just stick with me if anything happens. It's life in 2021. We got to deal with it. Today's question, who is the next face of the NBA? Plaintiff Johnson, Prosecutor Johnson, has said it's LaMelo Ball. Just think about everything he brings to the table and what he could be for the next decade. The defendant, Jay Williams, essentially saying, look, it's too early to make a call. LeBron is indeed the face of the NBA, but there is no clear answer. Who is next? The case will soon be sent to the jury.
Judge Zubin.
Yes.
Just want to say, just one for context.
Yes, sir.
The last couple of faces of the NBA, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
I just want to set
to
the tone. Yes. I just want to set the tone this, for what we're aspiring for. Okay, go ahead.
I object. This particular individual is continuing to try to persuade the witnesses.
He's not a witness. He's the judge.
But the witnesses are listening, and you're trying to continue to chime in to persuade the witnesses.
Can you sustain and overrule something at the same time? You're the first judge to do that. I don't know where we're going. So we need evidence.
Is it true?
That's coming next week. Get that ready for the Monday morning meeting. Okay, here we go. We need evidence for both sides. Exhibit A. Take it out of the little plastic bag. Put it on the easel. Here we go. CJ in Florida. You are going to give some evidence to support your claim on the question this morning of who's the next face of the NBA to help out defendant Williams.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
You got Cayman's voice. What's going on here?
Good morning, brother.
I got three real quick points to go to Jay Will's case. First of all, point number one. It was just last year that we were calling Zion the face of the NBA.
Good point.
So I don't think that we can call.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Do you know Jay Will?
Let this man. Let's see Jay.
I want to know if he know you.
Give this man his airtime. Be respectful.
I don't know.
And the reason I say that is because during one of our breaks, that was one of the first things Jay Will said to me. Sounds fishy to me, but go ahead there, CJ.
All right, point number two. There's only been three people in my lifetime in nearly 50 years that came in as the face. That's Magic and Larry, and LeBron. It took Mike about 5 years to become the face. It took Kobe winning two titles without Shaq to become the face. So it's going to take that time, and it's going to take winning. The last point I have, to be the face of the league, you've got to be something that we haven't seen before. You know, we've seen 6'8 guards. We've seen Magic. We've seen Penny. Not that LaMelo won't be a great player, but we've seen this act before. Thank you, fellas.
Well, a lot of great points by him. Clearly, championships are a must. But I think with just the world that we live in now, with all this social media and all those sort of things, it's a little bit different than when those guys came into the league.
I agree with you. It just has to be more than social media being a frenzy, right? Like, you have to be the best of the best to be the face of the league. It just can't be because what you bring off the court. It has to be the combination of both.
But and that is true, Jay, but social media will kick you up several notches if you playing at a level. You know, if you got all the stuff and you playing at a certain level, you know that social media game takes you to the next level. We've seen it many, many times over. And when your game slips, that's when you slip.
Zubin, this is coming from the man that tells me to stay off social media.
That's true. That is ironic.
I think CJ's last point helps key. It's got to be something we've never seen before. We've never seen a guy with this kind of following when he came into the NBA when it comes to social media.
I just said that.
Yeah. I think CJ's point helps.
But Jay is against it. So I'm going to quit, and I'm going to just leave my client hang him out to dry.
Hang on a second. The most important thing that CJ said, and don't think the judge here didn't recognize this, a collusion suit being filed by Jay.
Thank you.
Right? CJ and Jay together. Key wants to file a collusion suit.
Because Jay mentioned that to me during the break, and then all of a sudden, we got CJ on the damn line.
And I just want to say this. Let's calm down with social media and all the following that comes along and try to say that that's not the level that Zion was at for the people that weren't on social media, more people were on social media, or the level that LeBron was at, you know, pre-social media. There could be more people following LeBron James, for all you know, than just a number that stated on social media.
Okay, speaking of LeBron, if we're waiting for another young version, LaMelo is young, LeBron's son Bronny is younger. MJ Shearer, 23.
I can't co-sign this. I can't do it, Key.
And
I can't do it.
I have a feeling Key might agree with you on this. He's rolling with Bronny.
I already know where it's going when I heard it. I can't do it, Key.
I don't know if I could make his son the face of the NBA just because he wins the title with him. No.
Playing with his dad.
That's all cool, but it ain't going to. No. No. Uh-uh. I can't do it.
All right, Jay, this is, you follow the league closer than anybody, so this won't surprise
you. It would be great.
But for a lot of people, have you seen the stat line lately, courtesy of Bill Brown 35. This is a great one, Bill Brown 35. I can't go with the face of the league, but he's playing outrageously good ball. He's going to go out of the box here, Jay, with Julius Randle.
I mean, Julius Randle's playing out of his mind. I would assume that he is a New York Knicks fan.
We are on in New York right now.
I will leave that at that. I'm happy that his opinion is reflective of Julius
Randle. Not the face of the league.
But not the face of the league.
And for those people that continue to bring up people that are somewhat in the middle of their careers, LeBron's toward the end of his career, but he's going to play another 5 years.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
When you start talking about, you know, Dame Lillard and Steph Curry and all, they're going to be leaving the league around the same time as LeBron.
Yeah,
so
we're talking Luka.
The face of the league. These guys have got to be within their first 3 years in the NBA.
And Zion could be that guy. I just have to see Zion stay healthy for a full season. And I ultimately think the lack of skill set sometimes could be the one thing that hinders Zion from becoming that international. I mean, he's already going to be an international superstar. I'm just saying that next level, upper tier level, sorry.
No doubt about it. Go Leafs Go 31-31 is on the Zion train for sure. It's imagining just a year ago at this time. That's all we were talking about. Taylor Dart going with Steph Curry. On the way, you continue to weigh in. New face of the NBA and a new scintillating option for Deshaun Watson.